Welcome to our podcast, where we look for opportunities in our lives to see a beautiful view. I'm Candy.
And I'm Paul. If you haven't already, we want to invite you to check out our YouTube channel. If you enjoy listening to the Beautiful View podcast, then you will love watching it in video form.
I think it's so much fun that we can add photos and video on YouTube to show you exactly what we are talking about.
Yes.
This will definitely be a good episode to watch.
Yeah, it will. Be sure to subscribe and click on the bell notifications icon and you won't miss an episode. The link to our YouTube channel is in our show notes.
We look forward to sharing with you today, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the beautiful view.
We could climb a mighty mountain, float on down a winding river, travel back in time and face our future too. Oh, I'm not scared of where I'm going, 'cause I know whose hands I'm holding. Oh, I'd go anywhere as long as you're going too. Oh, well, I'd go anywhere as long as I'm with you.
Hello. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different, and yep, you're going to love it.
Yep. We have both of our kids here. So, Emily and Tyler.
Yeah. How exciting. I figured while we were tent camping and I had them as a somewhat captive audience.
They have no choice.
We're tent camping for the solar eclipse, as we said in our last episode. Mm-hmm. Yep. You can go back and watch that one if you haven't seen it. We wanted to take advantage of having both kids right here with us. That's a rare occurrence.
Uh-huh.
And having their full attention. So, and we also don't have much phone signal. There's so no their phones are not service. Great. So we pretty much have their undivided attention.
Oh, whatever.
So we're going to interview them today about their experiences of growing up on the road. We were full-time RVers for 6.5 years. When we hit the road in 2015, Emily, you were 11, mm-hmm, and Tyler was 6 years old.
Yeah.
Now you're 6 foot tall,
that's
but then
true.
You were 6 years old.
Oh, a little bit more than 6 foot, but 6 foot one.
Oh, come on.
When we bought a house and came off the road in December of 2021, Emily was 17 and Tyler had just turned 12.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to hear about their thoughts and experiences.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
So let's go way back to the family meeting that your daddy called all those years ago and suggested that we sell our house and live in an RV. What do you remember about how you felt about that? Emily, I remember you said, what's an RV?
I had no idea. No earthly idea.
Do you remember anything else about that? How you felt about it? Or
I thought y'all were crazy. If we're going to be completely honest.
I just didn't know what was happening.
You were probably right.
I didn't know what an RV was. That was a completely foreign concept to me.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, camping. I had a friend that camped once back in elementary.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that even mean? What do you do? Like, I just was completely oblivious. And so
that's
y'all
funny.
Coming to us and saying, hey, we're going to like do this thing full time. What do you think about it? Was like a game changer. Like I was in shock, I think.
Yeah. Bit. Tyler, you were really young.
I was.
Do you remember anything about that meeting?
I just remember being very confused and being like, okay, well, I guess. Yep.
I guess that sounds good.
I guess that sounds all right.
Sure, might as well.
So, Emily, when we actually ended up going and seeing the RV that we were going to buy, like, what did you think about that?
I could start picturing it. I was able to kind of, like...
There was a bedroom.
Yeah, well, we were looking at multiple RVs, and I remember a couple specifically that I was like, okay, that this might be able to work. We could do this.
Yeah.
And then we found ours, and I was like, oh, yeah, I've got plenty of space. We'll be fine. It'll be great.
There are TVs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I found it really interesting to look around at all the different RVs and see how they were all laid out. And
yeah, there was one in particular that we looked at that had... It didn't have a bunk room. It had like a bunk space.
Yeah.
And it was like,
Was that the one with the couch underneath?
Yeah, it had the couch
and
it had like a room underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there were a couple of different ones that just, they were kind of okay if you were just doing like a camping trip.
There was one of them that had like your bunk beds were like extra large shelves in the corner.
Yeah, that one I remember very specifically.
And Emily was like,
Yeah. Yeah.
Different.
There were some that were a little odd that I was like, okay, we'd be improvising this entire time.
But the
time,
one we ended up with, it has double slides on the bunk room, and it had two beds on each side, double bunks, and you had a big closet and dresser space on the back wall.
Yeah.
So it kind of was easier to picture with a TV on the back wall as well.
Yep.
So for what we were doing, it really kind of gave you both a lot of your own space.
It did, yeah.
Yep.
So you had plenty of space in there for an RV, right? But can you talk to us a little bit about what it was like sharing that space with your little brother, big sister?
It was very different because we didn't really know each other because our rooms were on like the exact opposites of the house, and
yeah,
she was always going to school, and I would stay at home and watch Cars all day, but it was very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really had to kind of figure out how to live together, right? Well, I think we all did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it was a big adjustment, I think, for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
But as we went on, I mean, we only got closer. I mean, there were nights I remember we would both be sat by the TV playing Minecraft on Xbox, or we'd be curled up in one of the bunks just watching movies, just things like that. I mean,
there was a lot of bonding, a lot of sibling bonding.
We
that
were
happened.
Best friends after a while.
Absolutely.
Just, it brought us closer together for sure.
So, Emily, you said that you guys became best friends, and we saw that ourselves, you know, how the two of you really gelled. So talk to me a little bit more about that. Like, were there any hurdles to jump over at first, or?
I mean, early on, like Tyler said, we barely knew each other. So I think there was that awkwardness of the two of us both being in the same room all the time.
There's also a five-year age gap.
There is.
And we have very different personalities.
Extremely. But after time, I mean, we basically only really had each other.
Yep.
So we were always the person, we were always looking to each other to talk to at the end of the day while we were falling asleep. Or
our midnight talks were fantastic.
Oh, they were interesting. That's for sure.
And I seem to remember that you taught yourself sign language
something. Yeah, so we could communicate with each other in the
back seat. In the back seat while we were going, we learned the sign language alphabet, and we would try and...
For no particular reason?
No particular
sign each other random words as we were going through. I don't remember much now.
I don't either.
That's really funny.
It was quite handy.
Yeah, it was.
So what about making friends on the road? Talk to us a little bit about that. Did you find that hard or did you find that easy for you?
I found it very easy as a smaller child to find new friends in every campground.
There's always a meet up at the playground, right?
Meet up at the playground and exchange stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was kind of difficult to keep those friendships because they were just for a week, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I was in a bit more of a difficult stage in my life as I was becoming a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it a little harder, especially finding people in my age group.
Mm-hmm.
And people in my age group at that who wanted to also leave their RVs.
Right, there's
so
that.
So I kind of fell into that hole of not really wanting to put myself out there, kind of just being a bit of a recluse while Tyler was out being the social butterfly.
Tyler!
I think you did better, Emily, when we were in places for longer periods of time.
Oh, for sure. I think that was another thing is I didn't have long periods of time to kind of adjust, to get to know people. And then as soon as I did, it had to be virtual, if anything.
Right.
Or it had to wait until the next time. So I had a bit of a harder time, but I definitely remember Tyler being a social butterfly, running around making friends with every single person
and
he saw.
And every little kid falling behind him.
Tyler! Yeah.
We We visited so many historical places along the way. We went to national parks, state parks, museums. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the education that you guys got compared to, you know, learning things the average person, like the average kid does, you know, in a textbook? How was your experience?
I'm grateful for it personally because I feel like it was a lot more flexible. Mm-hmm. A lot of what I got out of my education was a lot more than what I did sitting at the table. It was mm-hmm. a lot of the hands-on stuff, the being able to connect with the things we were learning as it was around us in our environment, mm-hmm. and being able to have that visual representation and being able to actually walk through these situations.
Yeah, like being in the environment and kind of taking in. You let your imagination run away with
for
you.
For sure, and I'm a very imaginative person. So, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it was like a whole movie playing out every single time we went somewhere new.
Do you remember walking into Lincoln's house and seeing the top hat on inside the door?
I do. That's it was horrible. Surreal.
It's also helped me a lot to, like, relate myself to things I learned in school now because mm-hmm. I'm in public school and just knowing that it's a real place with real people. And
Yeah.
So when you read about something in a textbook now or they mention it, you're like, oh, I've been there.
I've been there. I know about where that's at. And
yeah, it's really interesting. It kind of brings it all to life, doesn't it?
Yep.
What would you say was your favorite educational place that we visited? We visited a lot. But what would you say is right up there at the top on your list?
I mean, I guess there was like Badlands where me and Dad went into the canyon. And
what did we learn from that experience?
What did you learn from that experience, Tyler?
About the layers and how
geology. That's right. Yeah,
geology. Uh-huh. Adventure.
And a little bit about, you know, zoology, where we came across large four-legged animals. We learned a lot that trip.
Totally safe. Definitely.
And very how upset Mama gets when she doesn't know where her boys are.
Yeah, that's true. It's fun.
I think that was educational.
It was.
Emily, how about you? What was your favorite educational place that we visited?
I would say probably Gettysburg. I really enjoyed our Civil War part of our adventures. Yes. Yeah. And so Gettysburg was kind of the point for me where we had already done a lot leading up to that place.
Yeah.
And so when we were there, it made it all real, I feel like. It was very, the best way I could put it is it was very alive.
Yeah.
When you were walking through there, I mean, you felt the stuff that those people went through. And
well, and a lot of the stuff, like we were driving along a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And we had that audio tour CD that they gave us at the beginning. And we were playing that as we were going around in the truck. And so you got the sights and the sounds together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was.
That was pretty cool. And we had we had done a whole study about Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War and all the things that kind of led up to that. Mm-hmm. And we had also learned about the Underground Railroad. So that was kind of alongside that as well. And we'd visited the Underground Railroad Museum in Cincinnati. Like there were a lot of things around that time period that we just dug deeply into. And I think visiting some of those sites just made the whole thing just come to life for both of you.
For sure.
So what was the coolest thing that you learned along the way?
Educational, non-educational, just the coolest thing that you think you kind of picked up along the way?
I think all about like how rockets launch and of the stuff behind that, because we were at South Padre Island. And,
opposite Boca Chica.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. SpaceX.
Where all the rockets were blasting off and exploding. And
we watched two rocket launches live there from the very tip of South Padre Island.
And then we did one in Florida, right?
Yeah, we saw
it. It was a little bit further away, but
we saw one launch in Florida, too.
We saw Falcon 9 in Florida. It was pretty neat. So you learned about prototyping, right?
Yeah, prototyping and
like iterations of spaceships where they learn from their mistakes, and the mistakes were epic.
Yeah.
Boom.
Big explosions.
Yep.
So, Emily, how about for you? What's the coolest thing you feel like you learned along the way?
I enjoyed, this is a bit more of a broader kind of thing,
yeah,
but I enjoyed hearing, or not hearing, I enjoyed learning about the different cultures,
mm-hmm.
Even around just America, because I mean,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Person to person, there's differences. So hearing how people do different things or... Mm-hmm. have different
viewpoints
mm-hmm. and
different accents.
Accents, I mean, things like in the Midwest, people call soda pop.
Oh my gosh, there's a butterfly.
Oh, oh yeah.
Right past this. Oh, wow.
Sorry, anyway.
So like in the Midwest, things like where people will say pop. Mm-hmm. But, like, down in Texas, for example, everything is Coke. Doesn't matter if it's the brand.
Except for Dr. Pepper. Coke,
except for Dr. Pepper.
Except for Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper is its own
Sprite,
thing.
If it's Sprite, no, it's actually
it's Coke.
And
what kind of Coke do you want?
There's kind of a middle ground, too, where it's just soda, basic sodas. But
it is interesting,
isn't it?
It goes
from, like, that all the way to, like, how Native Americans used to do things or mm-hmm. still do things mm-hmm. compared to how we do more often. Just... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I found it quite interesting to see how people are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is really interesting. That's a good answer. So let's talk fun stuff now. We went to several full-time families, rallies, mm-hmm. hangouts, yep. and meetups, mm-hmm. and parks and stuff like that. Which one was your favorite and why?
I think the Florida rally for me, for sure.
Yeah.
That was a big rally for me to come out of my shell a little bit.
Yes.
And
there was a large teen tribe at that rally.
Yes. Yep. That was one of the places where I found a lot of people my age, both that mm-hmm. I had met before and had never met before.
Yep.
And we all became really, really good friends.
Lots
even
of
to
activities,
this day.
Wasn't there?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That one, that specific rally had a ton of activities geared specifically for teens,
including mm-hmm. a dance. That was a big part of it for me. That's what I count as my
your prom,
I guess,
experience.
Prom experience. Yeah.
It kind of was. I mean, all the teenagers got really dressed up.
We all looked through each other's RVs to figure out what dresses would fit.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. Did each other's makeup. Been the whole experience, but it was a simple like camping dance.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. How about you, Tyler?
I'd say the Florida rally as well. It was just a very it was a lot different to the rallies when I was younger because I was just turning into a teen, so there was a lot more like activities,
tween
to do.
Things specific for tweens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the one that I was heading up the activities for the tweens.
Yeah,
so
that was
you
really
knew you
fun.
Were going to have cool stuff to do.
And I knew what we were doing before anyone else did. So.
That's true, too.
So how about the balloon rally?
The balloon rally was really fun.
Yeah, in Albuquerque?
That was our first one.
It was up there for me. Just, I mean, the two of us, we got to crew for a balloon.
We did get to crew.
You almost got to go up in one. That
I
was
almost
car.
Did. And then at the last minute, the pilot of the balloon called on someone else. And I'm like, but it was supposed to be my turn. I just kept quiet. I was like, okay, it's not going to be me. That's
but
okay.
But it was a really interesting learning experience.
Yeah, it was.
We got to do some really cool stuff that I never would have even begun to imagine.
Chase the crew around. And when they came down in the middle of this town, in someone's backyard, and we had to like gather the balloon up, put out this massive tarp, mm-hmm. gather the balloon up. It was really neat.
Yeah.
And you met a lot of friends, both of you did, at that mm-hmm. rally that we then connected with again at the Florida rally. And I think that was another reason that the Florida rally was so special.
Yeah.
Was because you already knew people.
Yeah.
So we were going into it and we already had people who we mm-hmm. were like, oh, hey, you're here. Why don't y'all park next to us kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. And these rallies, we're talking like 70-something families at each one.
Lot.
So... a range of ages of kids and stuff, but those are big enough that there was somebody for everyone. mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you have any other memorable stories you want to share from those times?
I think that a lot of our stories that we haven't touched on came from our time in South Padre Island.
Yeah.
South Padre winters.
We talked about the rocket launches and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it was just a really cool, like, natural experience of getting together with a bunch of friends. Like, all of us just happened to be there.
It wasn't organized. Well, yes. It wasn't like an organized rally. Like,
we should go down to the beach.
Yeah, yeah. It was very coincidental, but it was...
But there were probably 40 or 50 families there at any given time while we were there.
There was.
All of the kids there, we'd go over to the pavilion, and we'd have game nights, and... Mm-hmm. Go out, catch crabs.
And of course, these are full-time family kids. So a lot of the games were games that we had made up or that we had...
What was the one game that you played all the time?
Citizens Unite. Created by our good friend, Ezra.
Yep.
Ezra Atchison. She had 3D printed all these different coins and stuff and written instructions.
Yeah,
and she actually sold copies of the game at little, or what were they called? The little
kids marketplaces
at different rallies. Yeah.
That was a really fun experience, like make your own stuff and sell it to people.
To teach you how to do business.
The kids marketplace at each rally that we went to. They always had a time for the kids to have their own marketplace. So they got to come up with their idea for their little business they were going to do, and they could sell whatever they wanted. So you want to talk about that and tell some of the things that you sold several different times?
In, I think, the last rally we went to, the Minnesota Hangout, we did the Crafty Pickle, where I sold a bunch of pickles.
Homemade pickles,
We did, like... turtles made out of beads, and what else did we do? We did fluffy pens.
it was
really fun.
I think my favorite thing that I did for one of those was probably the first rally, the Albuquerque balloon rally, where I made like a homemade lavender lotion.
Like a handball.
That was a big one with the moms.
And then you did the wood burning pieces at one of them.
I wonder where those are now.
That's
Really,
really fun things. So what about some extra things that you learned while on the road? Emily, I know you kind of taught yourself to do a few things while we were traveling. You want to tell us about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, me being me, Miss Little Artsy, I found a lot of more creative things to dabble in, like... guitar. I really wanted to learn guitar, and I ended up with one, so why not? Crochet. I met this really nice lady around a campfire, as you do.
Another full-time family.
And I saw her crocheting, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted to learn how to do that, but I've never taken the time to actually learn. And so she's like, oh, come on over here, and I'll teach you. And I mean, she did.
She taught me. In a night.
So I caught on to that pretty quick, and I continued learning with YouTube videos, as I do usually. And taught myself how to crochet. I still have that very first hook that she gave me. It's my favorite hook. But things like that. I taught myself how to draw.
Art was kind of a little bit of a new thing for you.
Art, music, all of it. But I fell pretty deep into it. I just absolutely loved it.
And I think it was kind of just because you had the time and the space to kind of explore some of those things. Yeah. Would you say that?
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine having like a day-to-day life schedule like I do now where
would
you're
fit
just
that
constantly
in?
Going... Like, where would you think, oh, I want to learn something new? And occasionally now that I'm mindful of it, I do. I'll go find something. But no, that gave me the opportunity to really just dabble in whatever I wanted to learn.
Tyler, you learned to cook while we were on the road.
I did. I made my own little dish.
You did. That was at the end of like a cooking class that we did for your homeschool.
Yeah, and I was fascinated by all of the recipes that mom would make and try and figure out what to do for myself. And I ended up making a cute little recipe.
You did. Can you tell us about it?
So we had a soup or something and with cream of chicken in it. And I was like, this would make a really good sauce. So I think maybe a week after, I was like, why don't we make a dish? So we started with the cream of chicken.
Yeah.
I like kind of explosive flavors, so I added some lemon to it, and then really like angel hair pasta, so we cooked up some of that.
Chicken and...
And chicken and broccoli and lemon pepper.
It was delicious.
It was fantastic.
Do you remember what you called it?
I think I called it Lemon Angel.
I think that's right. Yeah.
It was delicious.
Yeah. You also, aside from cooking, you also learned how to surf when we were at South Padre.
So while we were watching the rocket launch, this surf instructor, didn't we find out like she was a flutist at the nearby church or something?
She was.
She was multi-talented.
She offered to give us all surfing lessons, and she had this professional surfer.
Special guest guy.
There was a pretty good group of you guys, too. It was like there were probably 10 or 12 preteens, teens over there learning to surf.
It was really fun. Our friend Esri caught onto it really well. So after the surf instructor left, we kind of practiced a bit with her, and she taught us what she knew. It was really fun.
Yeah.
So there were obviously a lot of really great experiences, and we all have a ton of beautiful memories together. But there are always negatives to everything. So what is one thing that you would consider a negative to living full-time in an RV?
I'd say probably trying to keep up with friends. That was probably the most difficult one.
Yeah.
Because you'd only stay somewhere for 1 to 2 weeks, or and I would make a ton of friends.
And then you might head in opposite directions.
And then you head in opposite directions. Yeah. And it was difficult to, especially as I was younger, to keep up with them, like over the internet and stuff.
Yeah, because you didn't have a phone and stuff way back. You got one toward the end of our travels. But yeah, how about you, Emily?
I think for me, it was tricky having a lack of permanence and a lack of privacy. I mean, I was
a young teenager.
I was a young teenage girl who was still trying to figure herself out quite a bit. And so not having that space to kind of just disappear for a little while. And everything constantly changing around me. Like, I mean, there's a cool aspect to that, too. Like, you get a new backyard every, like, couple weeks.
Of course.
But it was also, like, unfamiliar every single time you went somewhere new. And I was always kind of scared of that unfamiliar environment. Like, I wasn't one to leave the RV and go adventure. Yeah. I really only did that when y'all did. So
there was, like, the change of plans as well. Like, we had to be flexible. And
I'm a planner.
You are a planner. You're worse than I am.
So we'd be in the truck, and there'd be the list of questions from the back seat. So where are we going next?
What are we
how
doing?
Long is it
going
to be until we get there? Where are we going after that? And then how about after that? And it's like, Emily, just stop.
Just
we don't have all the answers.
No.
She's gotten a lot better about that, about being flexible and kind of going with the flow. And I think that's helped her in life in general.
I think most of her questioning was like, Mom, Dad, do you really
know what you're doing?
Yeah, pretty much. That's a fair question.
Yeah.
I think you did a lot better when we stayed in places for longer periods of time where you could actually I think of like our times at South Padre Island where we sat for a couple of months, two or three months.
I did really well with the schedule that kind of goes along with the planning thing.
Yeah.
And when we were in like South Padre Island, for example, you kind of knew what to expect every day. You were going outside. You would often see your friends. Mm-hmm. Every night we would have a game night.
Or a movie night or a campfire.
Esri and I had our art club that we ran for the kids. So we would do that, and it was just—it was just like you knew what was coming,
right?
And I always do. Well, I do like to be spontaneous, and all the adventuring and the change and stuff. Yeah. It's also really good for me to kind of just have something that's familiar every once in a while. So,
and I think that that's a big part. Obviously, the two of you played a huge role in us deciding to put some roots down in 2021.
Yeah.
So, can you talk a little bit about why you got to that point of wanting a home base? Just, Tyler, maybe you go first.
Okay. I had made a lot of friends in Bellevue, and I wanted to kind of learn what it was like to be a real boy. going to school and taking classes with different teachers and just having a little bit of a different perspective on things.
Yeah.
Yeah, is being as social of a kid as you are, I think you were starting to feel a little bit suffocated, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we did learn a lot through homeschool, and you did great with that. But yeah, I think for someone that is a social person, I think that going to public school was probably a really great option
that
for
experience.
You. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's understandable. I get that. Totally understandable.
Yeah.
Emily, how about you?
So for me, it's as simple as I was getting to the next point in my life.
Yeah.
I was thinking about college, thinking about having those permanent groups of friends, the people you see every single day. Mm-hmm. I was wanting to get a job, start making money. Yeah. I wanted to learn how to drive, get my license, just everyday adult stuff that I hadn't gotten to experience yet. I was getting to the point where I really wanted to start figuring out what was next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So has it been everything you thought it would be, you know, settling down in Bellevue in the house?
And more.
And more?
And more.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. Everything just like, it's everything I imagined, yes, because I knew what I wanted. I had a full-blown plan. And I went into it, and I mean, things took different turns than I expected.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And both good and bad, and it just, I gained a lot from the experience.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So what is one thing that comes to mind that's very different now than it was on the road?
So me and Emily have kind of done some sleepovers now, because we... We just like pile up in our bed or something and watch a movie or eat some snacks and
because you miss each other?
Yeah, because we miss each other.
Just because now, I mean,
we have very different schedules. And
different schedules, different rooms.
Yeah.
It barely ever aligns, so you got to take advantage of those. So we find ourselves, I think, planning a bit more for those moments than we used to, whereas it used to come very naturally, like, hey, let's sit down and watch a movie.
Yep.
Now it's, are you free tonight to, you know, sit down and maybe watch a movie?
So I'm hearing a similar story to how it was, like, when you were little before we went to the RV.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
You know, it seems like, you know, when we're doing our own thing in life, those times where we get to interact with each other, like you said, you have to kind of deliberately plan them or it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I think it's just a difference in lifestyle. I think it really
is. It's very different.
Do you ever miss life on the road? Like when we've traveled out here, I know Emily, you said at one point, I remember this, like you're from the back seat of the truck.
Yeah.
So is there anything about the RV, full-time RV lifestyle that you really miss and you wish you could have back again?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at us now. We're sitting in the middle of this massive forest.
Yeah.
I mean, I love nature and I love adventure and just traveling filled all those for me. So, I mean, those aspects I really do miss because you get caught up in day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when do you ever go for a walk, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
so, very true.
You know, we do, but it's like if you're watching the video now, like we keep looking up above us.
Yeah.
That's because there are a ton of different butterflies flying around us.
Yeah.
Just today. Like this is the first day we've been here that the sun has been out and the weather is a little warmer.
I have to put on some shorts.
Yeah.
I need some sun on these pale Iowa legs.
But we love nature. We love being in the middle of nature. It gives you a feeling of freedom. So that's the part of it that I miss, is the feeling of freedom.
Yeah,
I really miss going on hikes through beautiful places and seeing waterfalls or weird trees or canyons.
There's
something about adventure that's just very, very appealing to me.
Yeah,
I miss it.
Do you see yourself wanting to do a lot of traveling in the future?
Definitely. I think, I mean, in a different way, probably not with like an RV, maybe a van or tents or, and just like driving around and going to pretty places, especially in my younger life.
Yeah.
I personally would love to travel a bit more outside the U.S. too. I mean, we've seen a lot of the United States, but I think it would be really cool to find other versions of travel and meet other types of people and just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it looks very different for us in the future, but I think that hunger for travel will still very much be there.
Yeah, be a part of it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, kids, for... sharing your perspectives with us and with our audience today. You definitely had an unconventional and exciting childhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
I am so grateful for the opportunities we had during those years. I am thankful for the quality time that we had as a family, for being able to pour into my kids, for bringing them up the way that we did.
Yep.
We have amazing kids.
Yes, we do.
And I wouldn't go back and change a single thing.
Our kids changed so much in the years we were on the road, in their size, how much they ate, their interests, and their needs.
Yeah. If we had it to do over again, I would have liked to have started when the kids were... even younger.
Yeah.
Once they started getting into the teenage years, they started wanting to do normal teenager things like learn to drive, have steady friendships, get a job, give traditional school a try. We totally understand that. And those things are some of the main reasons we left the full-time RV lifestyle.
But the things that our kids gained, the experiences, the friendships, the education, I'm not even sure they realize yet how special that was. They have been places and had experiences that most adults only dream of.
And to them, it was just normal to visit a new national park and see natural wonders and unique things, to walk in dinosaur tracks, to stand in the middle of battlefields and feel the heaviness of the history, to stand in the cemetery where most of the gravestones are marked unknown, to see geysers erupt, to walk around the rim of the Grand Canyon, to walk below a natural arch, to see animals in the wild that most people will only ever see on TV, to learn the history of this great country by visiting historical places and hearing the stories from different perspectives. I mean, most kids get to crew for a hot air balloon race, right? These are just a handful of experiences that they grew up with. That was their normal.
Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it."
If we have been successful at raising great kids who do great things and love those around them well, then I consider that a big success.
Yes.
I know that God has big plans for Emily and Tyler, and I am so thankful for their willingness to share their beautiful views with us today.
Thank you for joining us today. What are we going to talk about next time?
Well, in our next episode, we will be celebrating, are you ready for this? Our 1 year anniversary of the Beautiful View podcast.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
No.
It has been such a great experience. We're going to share some of the things we've learned through producing this podcast every 2 weeks. How big of a job it has become. And we'll also share our hearts about why we pour so much into it.
This will be our third episode of the Beautiful View on the Road mini-series, and we'll be recording it from our camp hosting spot at Bellevue State Park.
Yes. And if you know of someone who would enjoy this podcast, please point them in our direction. Visit us at Beautiful View Podcast on Facebook or Instagram, share our posts, or share the link to our podcast. Also, now you can watch a video recording.
Everyone wave.
Hello. Of our most recent podcast on YouTube. These videos just keep getting better. This is so much fun. The link to that is also in our show notes.
Yes. Also, we would really appreciate it if you would follow, subscribe to, or leave a review for us on either YouTube or your favorite podcasting platform. These things are completely free for you to do, but helps push Beautiful View Podcast up a little further in the algorithms.
Shout out to The Hopeful Few once again for their great little theme song on our podcast.
Yes.
You can check them out on Spotify or Apple Music. The links to those are in our show notes.
If you have questions you would like us to answer or suggestions for things you would like us to talk about in our future podcasts, email us at beautifulviewpod@gmail.com.
And just a reminder, please consider joining the Beautiful View Patreon. This helps keep the episodes coming and helps cover our costs. Mm-hmm. Memberships are only $5 a month. And again, the link is in our show notes. And it's also on our social media accounts.
We hope you have a great day. And remember to always keep an eye open for opportunities in life to see a beautiful view.
Bye.
We could climb a mighty mountain, float on down a wide river, travel back in time and face our future too. Oh, I'm not scared of where I'm going, 'cause I know whose hands I'm holding. Oh, I'd go anywhere as long as you're going too. And I'd go anywhere as long as I'm with you. Yeah, I'd go anywhere.